Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, everyone, welcome on in to another live edition of the Patriots Beat podcast here on day two of the NFL free agency legal tampering period. We made it on time tonight. We didn't get a flurry of chaotic moves.
Well,
and chaos.
On time as Patriots Beat gets.
Yeah, especially in, you know, the middle of free agency here. But
right,
we are here. It is a live Patriots Beat podcast on the CLNS Media Network, presented by our friends over at Prize Picks. It is Brian Hines, joined as always by Alex Barth. In a bit of a quieter day for the Patriots in general. On day two here, we got some re-signings, we got some internal free agents who are departing elsewhere. And then we got some of the big names that they're involved on. Calvin Ridley, the wide receiver out of Jacksonville, obviously getting a lot of the attention today. But we will start with the players that were in Foxborough last year, and one man that is returning to Foxborough. Kind of a surprise, but edge rusher, pass rusher Josh Uche inked a one-year, $3 million deal, incentive heavy, that can bump him back up to $8 million. But we said throughout this process that his market would be really interesting to watch, because he obviously popped off 2 years ago, 11 and a half sacks. He kind of regressed back to the mean this year with 3 sacks. He did battle injuries. I think he kind of said too, he was trying to be a little bit more disciplined, play within the, you know, defensive structure. But he is back, 1 year, cheap deal, team friendly. Sounded like he even passed over some better offers to come back and play for Jerod Mayo. And now they have another edge guy kind of locked in that group opposite Matt Judon.
By the way, I apologize. This is where my second screen is, so I'm going to be looking here at Twitter for most of the show, seeing if they sign somebody. With Uche, it feels like, you know, the market wasn't there for him, and he's coming back and he's trying to reset it. And especially, they've talked about maybe playing a more aggressive style of defense this year. I think that's something that would certainly play in his favor, plays to his play style. So come back, get those numbers up. You know, if Matthew Judon's healthy too, he's going to have more opportunities. And the next year he hits the market again and, you know, tries to get that big long-term deal. He's still young. He's not really risking a ton by going back, assuming he plays to a level he feels he can play at. And for the Patriots, a good signing. You know, I said I thought he was going to leave. For this price, why not keep him? I think we'd all be a little annoyed if they let him walk at this price.
Yeah.
Edge guy. We'll see what happens with Anthony Jennings, but I think you factor in Keon White taking on a bigger role. We had talked about edge guy maybe being like a sneaky fringe top 100 need. I think now you can push that back. I'd still get a developmental player, but you can do that later. Maybe you find a UDFA you like, and you can, that one will push to 2025. So, you know, solid signing. I'm not going to do, you know, cartwheels over it, one, because I can't do cartwheels, but also because it's not like this monumentally unbelievable move. But that player for that price, sure. Yeah, I'll take that. Like, it's hard to say no, right? It's hard to say you don't like it.
Yeah. I know, the fact that he comes in like under what Mac Wilson got, like, who would have thought that at, you know, the trade deadline last year? So, nice to see him back for that number. And, you know, that was my kind of big thing with the aggressive defense that we keep hearing about. Maybe they do just, you know, say ditch that discipline approach and just pin your ears back and go get quarterbacks like he did 2 years ago when he had the 11 sack season. So, you know, that might produce better results. And obviously for that price, it would be worth it. So Uche back in the fold. He was the only signing today, signing at all for the Patriots, but they did lose some internal free agents. That started with Mike Gesicki. The tight end obviously didn't have a very productive year after signing a one-year contract with the team at this point last year. I don't think anyone really expected him back, especially in this, you know, kind of new offense that's going to be wanting to run the ball a lot. That's one of his biggest weaknesses as a player. But he signs a $3 million one-year deal with the Bengals, and you know, he'll try to go catch a bunch of touchdowns from Joe Burrow and, you know, hit the market again next year.
Yeah, much better fit for him. Much better fit. They have Drew Sample, who's going to handle all the blocking. He won't have to block, which was obviously a big issue for him. The Patriots, I mean, they still need a backup tight end.
Yeah.
And maybe that becomes Pharaoh Brown. You know, Harrison Bryan, Austin Hooper are still out there who worked with Alex Van Pelt in Cleveland. Like, that's still a need. And I don't think it's surprising that Gesicki left. Like, you felt like that was going to be a need, but now it becomes official. But the tight end market, guys are starting to go. You're starting to see some of those guys further down the board go. So this is something I'd like to see them target sooner rather than later, because you are getting to a point where more teams are going to start calling on guys like Pharaoh Brown and Austin Hooper just because of who's left. And that's something I think maybe they get going with a little bit of urgency. Who knows what to rate their signing guys, but I think by the end of the week, they add another tight end at some point, or just re-sign Pharaoh Brown.
Yep. Yeah. We'll see with Brown. You assume whoever they add is going to be kind of a run blocker, a guy who can, you know, be in line and block, because that's, again, one of, you know, Hunter Henry's kind of weaknesses. But you have Henry, you have LaMichael Petway there, so you need extra bodies there. Harrison Bryant, Austin Hooper, obviously the big connections, and I think we're still kind of in agreement. Add a young project type player in the draft too, and kind of go with that room going forward, and that would be a good way to enter the season. So Gesicki gone in Cincinnati. The other player the Patriots lost was Jalen Mills, another one I think we kind of could see coming. He wasn't too happy with his role last year, and with Kyle Duggar getting the tag, you know, he'll be back. Jabril Peppers will be back. Marte Mapu still is involved at the safety position. There's not a full-time role for Jalen Mills. So he goes to the New York Giants, who just lost Xavier McKinney, so it should be more playing time for him there. I don't think that details of that contract came out, but Jalen Mills is gone off to New York, where the Green Goblin belongs there.
Right. Not a surprise. He had talked to Sophie Weller late in the season about he wanted to go somewhere where he could start, he could play, and they obviously have enough safety depth. If they're going to add a safety, it should be a true free safety. Mills more of a tweener, so good for Mills. Go somewhere he's going to get a chance to play. I don't think he's a massive loss to the Patriots one way or the other. But it's more guys going to the, you know, former Philly guy in New York. That first, I think I said it on here last night, that first Giants-Eagles game is going to be awesome. Give me that in primetime week one.
Yep. That'll be fun. A lot of those, like, rivalry teams, guys jumping ships to in-division rivals. Like, we had Patrick Queen today going from the Ravens to the Steelers. So, will be some fun stuff next year. But that was it, right? From Patriots' perspective, Uche.
Devontae Parker signed with the Eagles for whatever that's worth. He'll be, you know, that mean AJ Brown's not as happy as we think he is, and they're getting some insurance at the X position? Probably not. But I found another team quick. So clearly the league not totally done with him.
Yep.
That being said, I'm not faulting the Patriots for cutting him. Like, it wasn't working here, but at least one team still thinks he has something left in the tank.
Yep, but Patriots still, you know, I know the way Schefter worded that tweet was kind of confusing. That was just kind of agent talk. The Patriots are still going to have to eat most of that contract. I think it's like $5-6 million cap hit. So, but yeah, Parker's off to Philly. But yeah, so those were all the Patriots announcements. Oh, we did get the exclusive right free agent tenders. The only other one we didn't know was Christian Ellis, so he's back.
Yeah.
In the mix, special teamer, but that's all the guys on the Patriots roster, their movements throughout the day. So we can kind of transition to the big fish, the big guy who seems like is holding everything up here on the open market, and that is Calvin Ridley. Deciding, seems like it's down to, according to reports, the Patriots and returning back to the Jacksonville Jaguars. But I think the longer this kind of stretches out, it's bad news for the Patriots, because with the Jaguars and the Falcons trade, there's a, you know, a clause in it where if he agrees to an extension before the new league year, which is 4 o'clock tomorrow, they have to, the Jaguars have to give the Falcons a second round pick. But if they let that contract expire and then sign him, you know, after 4 o'clock, it's a third round pick. So seems like the reports are, you know, Calvin Ridley wants to be in Jacksonville. He wants to go back there, but they're just kind of, you know, letting this, you know, go past the 4 o'clock window tomorrow. But the Patriots do have what sounds like a competitive offer out there for Ridley and are just kind of in the waiting games now.
Yeah, I really feel like the Jaguars are doing all they can to make sure that when they sign Calvin Ridley tomorrow at 4:01, the Falcons don't come in at 4:02 and hit him with a grievance to the league, basically saying they knew they were going to sign him. They knew it was an extension. They just waited to cost us our pick. At this point, and this is just me speculating, this isn't any inside information, I don't believe Calvin Ridley would be a Patriot. I think if they were, I do believe they're interested. I do.
Yeah.
I do think to an extent they're getting used by Jacksonville here and used by Ridley as one, you know, for Ridley to negotiate against the Jags and say, I need more money. And for the Jags to have somebody to say, no, what do you mean we tampered? What do you mean we colluded? The Patriots were talking to us. It's not our fault they didn't sign him, right? That kind of thing. But I feel like if the Patriots were going to make the offer to have Ridley come off Jacksonville, they would have made it already. Like, it's that simple. It's just, how many reports did we hear today over the span of hours that Patriots are competitive, but Ridley wants to be in Jacksonville. Ridley wants to be in Jacksonville. What that means is pay me more money and I will leave. If you pay me more money, I will go play for you. And how many times is his agent going to have to put out that message? You know, how many times is the agent put out the message for the Patriots up the ante? And it feels like at this point, I don't know. Like, could they still, you know, sleep on it, wake up tomorrow morning and say, F it, throw $5 million a year on there or whatever? Sure, of course they could. I just feel like, I don't know, if it's me in that position, right, if that offer needs to be made, I'd have made it by now if I'm the Patriots.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So would you make that offer right now?
I don't know where they're at. I mean, I don't know where they're at.
Would you, no matter what they're at, would you up it to a point where Calvin Ridley's like, deal, I'm signing right now. Would you go to that?
That's the thing. I don't know the stipulations of the contract. No. They're definitely, I wouldn't give him more than 3 years. I've said that. I wouldn't give him more than 3 years. I've said that. In terms of AAV, I don't know that I'm going that far over 20, right? If they're sitting at like 3 years, 60 million, call it 45 guaranteed, most of it's front loaded, that's about where I'm maxing out. I'm not totally blowing out the books to get the guy. At a certain point, I'm pivoting specifically to T. Higgins. Because if that's the thing, what's T. Higgins going to want? Because if you start entering the neighborhood that you think is going to be what a T. Higgins extension looks like, T. Higgins is a much better player. At that point, I pivot. I go trade 34 for T. Higgins. And then I give, you know, if it's paying Calvin Ridley $22 million a year or paying T. Higgins $25 million a year, I'm not giving Calvin Ridley 25 to get him here. At that point, I'll give T. Higgins the 25. So that's kind of my cut. I guess that's my cutoff. That's a long way of saying it's a good question. I had to think through that in real time. Once you get to that range where you'd be comfortable giving a guy like T. Higgins that deal, or like, I like Higgins. I know some people like Brandon Ayuk. If you'd be comfortable giving Brandon Ayuk that deal, well, then just go give that guy that deal if he's truly on the trade. Higgins specifically, too. I think Ayuk, there's been reports that the Niners are going to want a first for him. Wouldn't touch that, obviously. As much as I like this wide receiver class, and I've talked a ton about how much I like it, you're not getting a wide receiver better than T. Higgins at 34. And if that's all it's going to cost you, maybe, you know, a pick outside of the top 150, maybe you trade the Mac Jones pick 193 as well. You throw that on there, throw on like a future fifth, future six. I would do that at that point instead of just paying T. Higgins to save that draft pick.
Yep. Yeah, that's the thing with Ridley. Like, he's the best free agent receiver out there, and we all want a veteran, you know, to pair with a presuming rookie quarterback at number three. But I kind of do like how they're kind of being firm with their offer and saying, you know, this is what we value at. And if, you know, if you don't want to come for this price, we're not going to just, you know, give you a blank check and open the checkbooks and let you kind of, you know, pop up there in like the top five AAV for the wide receiver position. So, but yeah, it is kind of a barren wide receiver market after that. I don't, you know, you mentioned the trade targets, obviously T. Higgins, Brandon Ayuk are the top kind of guys there. If they even do shake free, like I still have a hard time seeing either of those teams trade one of those guys unless they're like, they completely get a really good offer. But any like other receiver on the free agent market that you're kind of looking at? Yeah, because it's,
you know, no interest in Hollywood Brown. Who else even is there at this point?
It's like, I don't know. It's,
you're not going into like Beckham and Michael Thomas. I'll stay the hell away from those guys.
Like Tyler Boyd, KJ Osborne, I think's available. I wouldn't mind a cheap two-year deal for like Josh Reynolds just to get.
I said like Josh Reynolds or Donovan Peoples Jones is a secondary guy, but isn't that that's what you're hoping Kendrick Bourne is?
Yeah.
At the end of the day, you got to be able to get all these guys on the field. At this point, I'm going into the draft aggressive. So you have this year money, whatever it is earmarked for Calvin Ridley. Let's say they don't get him and they can't get T. Higgins. Turn around, take that money, throw it on top of your offer for Jonah Williams. Get him. You have Williams, you have Onwenu, your tackles are set, at least for the year. Get aggressive with 34, move up, back into the first round, try to get a guy like A.D. Mitchell. That's what I would do at that point.
Yep. And I see a lot of people, you know, in the chat talking about Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, which
so
Patriots did reportedly check in on those guys, as well as Joey Bosa and Khalil Mack with the Chargers. So, I mean, those receivers are interesting. They obviously have big contracts, but they're in the last year of their deal. And, you know, they're both, you know, they have struggled with injuries throughout their career, but like those are two kind of veteran reliable receivers who maybe if they get cut or if they, we just saw Deontay Johnson go for like a seventh round pick swap. So would you have interest in one of those Chargers guys, maybe as you know, like your plan B to Calvin Ridley here?
I might have some interest in Keenan Allen. I actually might. I know he's old. I get that he's old. And I've been the one on here saying no wide receivers after 30. But to catch 108 balls in 13 games, I mean, he's still, even if he regresses, if it's not a massive regression, like let's say he regresses 20%, arbitrary number, right? That's still like an 80 catch. I forget what he had for a year. I think he had 1,000 yards. It's still an 80 catch, 800 yard season. That's one of the best post-Brady seasons by wide receiver the Patriots will have had. We also know how helpful he is to a young quarterback, seeing what he did with Justin Herbert. He's only on a one-year contract. So if I have to trade for him, I would. Ideally, he gets cut and you get to structure the contract the way you want it. He's not a long-term answer. Still going back in the draft next year, wide receiver towards the top. But for 1 year, you're covered at wide receiver and you certainly could do a lot worse. Mike Williams coming off a torn ACL worries me because now two of your top three receivers are coming off of torn ACLs, and that's just tremendous risk.
Yeah.
So I'm out on Mike Williams. Keenan Allen, if you're getting him for like a late day three pick or a pick swap, swap the picks back from the JC Jackson trade, right? If you swap those picks back, you add Keenan Allen, I'll take on the whatever it is, $17 million. They have the cap money to absorb that. There's no effect into next year. He's off the books after 2024. I would call that a good move. I don't know that it would be a great move. I would call that a good move, especially if they're going to draft a guy. Because again, what puts me over the top is he might regress a little bit, but he was so good with Justin Herbert that I'm like, all right, if he can do that for Drake May, if he can do that for Jaden Daniels, even if he does it at a slightly lesser level, that's probably going to be a net positive long term. So I'll take it.
Yeah. I think that's kind of, you know, where you're at, assuming Calvin Ridley doesn't have a change of heart tomorrow. Who was the kicker who had a change of heart yesterday? Was it Will Lutz who like said psych and then I'm going to go back to the Broncos or something, I think.
But, that happens sometimes.
Assuming, you know, Calvin Ridley, it looks like he's going to Jacksonville unless he, you know, doesn't flip. You're probably looking if you can bring in just a reliable veteran like a Keenan Allen, you know, maybe it's Mike Williams, and give that your rookie quarterback a veteran target, then you're going to add a guy on day two of the draft. And that's kind of, you know, your core. You have the rookie, the veteran, Kendrick Bourne, Pop Douglas. And now next year, hopefully the rookie quarterback is a good year. And, you know, as you said yesterday, we're a Luther Burden podcast. And you can kind of go all in on that rookie wide receiver with your first round pick next year. So I'd say that's where you're kind of headed, just because unfortunately a lot of these top receivers didn't hit the open market. And it looks like Calvin Ridley's set to go back to the warm state with no state income tax and the Pro Bowl quarterback.
I wonder why he's making that decision.
And you can't really blame him for that one. But
And I'll tell you what Felger and Maz will lead with. Well, so it happens at 4. They'll come back after 4 o'clock headlines. He chose Mac Jones over you. That's absolutely going to be where Felger and Maz start. I'll tell you that right now.
100%. But yeah, that is most of the wide receiver position. Again, unfortunately, nothing much going there in free agency. But let's take a very quick break. We can hear from our wonderful friends over at Prize Picks, and then we can wrap it up with a little more thoughts just on the general market.
Football season may be over, but the action on the floor is heating up. Whether it's a tournament season or the fight for a playoff home court, there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into serious cash. Testing my skills on Prize Picks this season is the most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. If you have the skills, you can turn $10 into $1,000 with just a few taps. Prize Picks is really simple to play, and I can make my picks and submit my entry in less than 60 seconds. Download the app today and use code CLNS for a first deposit match up to $100. Use the code CLNS for the first deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
All right, so I guess just going to, you know, the general day of, you know, free agency number two, legal tampering number two. I mean, one of the big shocks to me, I guess, and kind of a Patriots tie-in too, is just the lack of the movement in the tackle market, right? Like Jonah Williams is still out there. Tyron Smith is still out there. It seemed, you know, there are a ton of guards signing yesterday. It seemed like the league was really kind of focusing on those guards now, maybe because the interior defensive linemen are becoming such problems there. They're beefing up the interior, but it's been a slow moving tackle market. You know, Williams and Tyron Smith are the big names there. So you still looking at maybe one of those guys for, you know, the Pats to shore up that left tackle spot.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I think it's, I can't think of what it is that's holding it up. Those two guys are at the top of the market. If like Kirk Cousins hadn't signed, right, I'd be like, well, everybody's waiting on Kirk Cousins, but I don't think the tackles are waiting on Calvin Ridley. I don't.
Yeah.
That's really the only thing I could think of. So as a whole, you know, the cap goes up and everybody's expecting this. The cap went up from what it was projected to be, right? That was about a month ago. And everybody's expecting the spending spree. And then you look around and you look at the players that are available. I think that the effect we thought it was going to have on free agency, the cap going up the way it did, it actually had on re-signings. And what that did was depress the market, and teams look around, they have all this money to spend. They have nobody they want to spend it on, and they don't want to hand out bad contracts. And I think the players were sitting there waiting for these big deals and now realize that maybe some of those big deals aren't there. And that's where you get a guy like Josh Uche coming back to the Patriots for $8 million total for 1 year. So the tackle position would strongly impact that, because Jonah Williams and Tyron Smith, a guy that is older, like was a good player, was a great player, is still good, but is older. And the guy recently had to change positions. These are guys that profile is generally the guys that get overpaid. They were probably counting on that. Now, maybe it's not happening. if I had to guess, the tackle market is slowed down by just the overall slow market. Started to pick up a little bit tonight. Again, you saw some trades. You saw guys like Daniel Hunter get signed, things like that. But I would think that's going to come soon. I would think the tackles are going to come soon. And yeah, the Patriots absolutely should still be in on Jonah Williams, should still be in on Tyron Smith, whichever one they prefer. I mean, I'd be in on both. They probably have a guy they prefer. And yeah, you push on that guy a little bit harder. As soon as the Calvin Ridley thing falls through, because I think it's going to fall through, I take, you know, a chunk of that offer and move it onto the tackle and try to get that deal done across the line. Because the thing is, again, and we talked about this last night, if you have Mike Onwenu and you have left tackle X, Tyron Smith, Jonah Williams, you're good up front. You still, you know, draft a project player and we're going to revisit it as a need next year. But your tackles are set. Your guards are fine. Honestly, guard may become a bigger need than tackle at that point, but you're in pretty good shape. Now you can really go and hammer wide receiver in the draft and or get aggressive and make one of these trades. So if you lose on Calvin Ridley, I get aggressive and overpay one of these tackles, get that deal done. And then again, yeah, you just turn your attention to, all right, what are we doing at wide receiver? Because edge rusher is pretty much taken care of. They'll get a corner. I'm not super worried about that. They'll find a corner somewhere. It's not like they need a top of the market guy. And then, yeah, you just turn your attention to receiver, because if you have everything else kind of tied together, you can afford to maybe put more assets there than we initially thought.
Yeah. Or maybe make, you know, you were talking about a few shows ago, like make that trade from 34 back up into the, you know, the early 20s, and maybe a Brian Thomas or an AD Mitchell kind of falls in the draft. And now, like, here you go. You have your big number one ex rookie wide receiver that you hope pans out. So yeah, I'd be in this tackle market. I think even if you miss out on Ridley, even maybe if you don't, you have so much cap space, right? Like maybe up those offers a little and overpay, unless the years get like a crazy amount, like even overpay a little bit if you have to. So hopefully that market starts to move a little bit, and hopefully the Patriots are involved.
I think we do have a little Jonah Williams update here.
Good timing.
I don't know who this is. Andre Parada, it's retweeted by Pat's Cap. So I trust him because I trust Pat's Cap. Mentioned to several people that I thought Jonah Williams' market would be cooler than some expected. I think teams will use the fact that his own team moved him off left tackle against him in his negotiations. Generally hear some rumblings, but it's been oddly quiet. Yeah, so kind of what I just said, like this is a guy that changed positions last year. Teams will hold that against you in years where there's, you know, more opportunity or teams are more desperate. That's kind of something you easily take off the table. Teams may be less hesitant to take that off the table this year, and that might be slowing it down. I wouldn't be surprised if we've talked about Tyron Smith being the best tackle in this class. I would not be surprised if it's actually Jonah Williams in the eyes of the league and Smith's market is tied up by Williams' market. That would not surprise me.
Yep. Yeah, I agree with you there, but we'll keep watching that tackle market. Any other like big markets that are, you know, you expect New England to get involved in? Like we haven't got much traction today out of that safety market. It looked like Justin Simmons might be going to the Titans or they're talking, but any other like specific player?
Steph Gilmore.
Yeah.
I still want to see something there. And clearly the market for him isn't that big. It's another guy I'd throw a couple extra million at if you get him through the door. I'd still like to see them get in on Steph Gilmore. And yeah, Justin Simmons are one of these deep safeties too. Those are the other two positions I'm still looking at.
Yep. I think they said, I think it was Russini said the Titans were talking to him. So, you know, when they say that, it's kind of like, looks like they know something that's about to happen, but don't think that was across the finish line yet. But yeah, I think Justin Simmons would be an awesome addition. I saw some people in the chat talking about like Chase Young. He was taking like 3 or 4 meetings, none of those with the Patriots. They probably don't need to spend big at edge there now that Uche's back, unless they're planning on moving off of Matthew Judon. All of a sudden, you assume having Judon, Josh Uche, Keon White will probably have a bit bigger of a role. Then hopefully they bring back Anthony Jennings. It's been all quiet on the Anthony Jennings.
Yeah, haven't heard anything on Anthony Jennings. That's a guy I would definitely like to see them bring back.
Yeah, 100%. But yeah, I don't see Chase Young really in their future here over these next few days.
No.
But let's see, any other names or any other, again, it was like after yesterday's just avalanche of moves after 7:30, right. It's been a pretty quiet day. But if you guys want to, you know, put some names in the chat or just questions,
I guess if people want, I haven't. Yeah, Tre'Davious White, I'm not very interested in. Two bad injuries in 2 years. It's just not a guy you need to pay. I don't know if you feel the same, Brian, but I'm pretty out on him.
Yeah, I think we mentioned it once he got cut. That would be one of those, like, if you're right before training camp, him, JC Jackson are still lying around and you want to just take like a flyer on them to see how they look throughout camp. That would be fine.
Some people asking about Justin Fields. I don't think there's an expansive market for him. I still see people saying trade a second or third for Justin Fields. I think if the Bears could get a second or third for Justin Fields, he wouldn't be on the Bears anymore. Will he go for more than that? Maybe. I think you're talking about like a fifth round pick. I still think you have your backup. You have Jacoby Brissett. You don't need Justin Fields taking snaps away from the rookie. You just don't need it. And no, the rookie's not sitting for a full year. He's not if you're taking him third overall. If you're going to take Spencer Rattler, Joe Milton, fine, go get Justin Fields, but that shouldn't be the plan. I remain out on Justin Fields, and I think people really are overestimating what his market is, how bad teams want him, and what he does. I've seen people tweeting at me that if they sign Justin Fields, they're like suddenly a playoff contender, Super Bowl contender. The guy had half a good year, and look, I think Chicago did a lot to ruin his development, but he had half a good year.
Yep. Yeah, I think the league is kind of showing you the thought process here on Justin Fields, that it's not that great of a market. But we have a draft question. We can get to that. The Vikings, probably one of these teams firmly in the quarterback market now in the draft.
Ironically, that's where Justin Fields should go, but the Bears will never trade him to the Vikings. Yeah,
in the division. Probably going to get tons of J.J. McCarthy rumors over the next 5-6 weeks. But if they want to move up all the way to 3, they're at 11, I believe, so kind of a far drop off there. But how many picks do you need to move back 8 spots there?
If I'm the Patriots, I'm starting with that 2021 trade that the Niners and Dolphins made.
So 3 first rounders.
Yeah, so you're looking at 11, next year's first, next year's third, and then a 2026 first. There's no reason you should accept less than that. That's set as the price. That was also a year where a quarterback was on the board. You know they're moving up for a quarterback. I would not accept anything less than that. They didn't get enough. And I've seen people do these weird machinations where it's like a first and a second. You guys need to go back and look at what the first round picks go for in previous years, because it's all the people making the argument, oh, move back, get picks, are short selling themselves actually on how much you get when you move back. As for Justin Jefferson in that trade, I don't think they're going to deal him. If they do, just replace, not this year's first, but you can replace one of the two future firsts with Justin Jefferson. So it would be this year's first either next year or the year after that, next year's third, and Justin Jefferson. That's basically what I think it's fair to swap that out. He's worth pretty much a first round. Just one first round pick because he needs a contract. He as a player, he's worth more, but the fact we've seen that depresses the market. But you're talking 3 firsts and a third. That, to me, is the price to move from 11 to 3. Maybe it's 3 firsts and or they move from the Niners move from 12 to 3. So maybe it's 3 firsts and a fourth for the one spot less they have to move up. But I'm not taking less than 3 firsts. I'm not.
Yeah. What Tyreek Hill go for? Was that a first and first, second, and like a fourth or something like that?
Wasn't that 2 firsts?
I don't think they got 2 firsts for Tyreek Hill.
Hill did need a new contract, didn't he?
Maybe he didn't, but they just extended him.
Well, he was like, he didn't need it immediately, but he was like a year out. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a first, a second, 2 fourths, and a sixth.
First, second, 2 fourths, and a sixth.
Yeah, that's not enough for me to go from 3 to 11.
Yeah.
Oh, but you're saying to compensate for
take out that and put in Justin Jefferson almost. That would be
so
a way to do that.
Maybe you take out a first and a third. So it'd be 2 firsts and Justin Jefferson.
Yep.
For that pick. What else do we got? I just saw an interesting one.
Well, we could talk while we're on the draft. We could just update pro days are are kicking off. The Patriots had three or four scouts and quarterback coach T.C. McCartney in Oregon today to watch Bo Nix. They had Tyler Hughes, the wide receivers coach in South Carolina, to watch Xavier Leggett. And then they had some of their offensive line coaches down there in Oklahoma to watch tackle Tyler Guyton. And they have one other offensive lineman whose name I'm blanking on, but kind of the pro day circuit is in full force here as we get, you know, a few weeks, five, 6 weeks out from the draft. So the Patriots were well represented and well scattered over all over the place today at some pro days. But I think we're still out on Bo Nix for this team.
Yeah. They just traded away Mac Jones. Why are you trying to draft Mac Jones? To the Bo Nix people. Why are you trying to draft Mac Jones? You just traded him away. There are teams Bo Nix is a fit for. The Patriots are not one of them. If you're going to go that route, I can't believe I say this. If you're going to go that route, that, you know, fringe first round quarterback, draft JJ McCarthy, because he actually is upside. Bo Nix has no upside. Bo Nix just is what he is. And that is a ball distributing quarterback.
Yep.
Speaking of quarterbacks, where will Jimmy Garoppolo go? Oh, Canada. No, he might not sign. He might wait, because I think the suspension.
He's on his Joe Flacco arc.
He's not suspended. Yeah, no, he might be. This is a guy that's always hurt, suspended. I don't think he really has any value. So, look, the league clearly thought a lot of these quarterbacks that have signed are more valuable than him. Maybe it's Minnesota. Maybe he becomes their bridge guy. That's really it. He's going to have a tough job, tough time getting a job. Yeah, UFL. Birmingham Stallions legend Jimmy Garoppolo.
UFL legend.
And season's only 10 games, so there's a chance maybe he makes it through.
He makes it through.
Yeah. Shorter season will help him.
Tons of UFL chat today. We had LaMichael Petway and a Jimmy Garoppolo Birmingham Stallions reference.
Stallions actually don't need him. They have Patriots legend Jamar Chase. Yeah. Not Jamar Chase, Jamar Smith.
Someone asked Tyler Lockett, didn't they just rework his contract? And
yeah, he's not getting traded.
Yeah.
That comes up every year, and he is the exact kind of guy the Patriots should trade for, but it just hasn't happened.
He just loves it over there in Seattle, rightfully so. He's been a good player for them. I don't see anything else going on here in the old chat. Curtis Samuel, any interest in him in the secondary third receiver market?
No, because you have enough of these guys. You need guys that are going to sit at the top of the depth chart. That's just the reality of it.
Yep. I don't know. Yeah, that looks about it. Unless you have
Ball's
any other.
Quiet. Would we draft Jordan Travis in the fourth? No.
No,
I wouldn't
too
take
early.
Him in the top 200. You just, for a guy who's purely, his game's so mobility based, coming off that significant injury, he's a complete flyer. There's no floor. There's some ceiling, but there's no floor. He's a complete flyer. You don't take that guy inside the top 200.
Yep. Cortland Sutton. I don't know if he going to get traded now that they just traded Judy.
Yeah, I don't think. And didn't they rework his deal? He just traded Devontae Parker.
Yeah.
Just cut Devontae. Like, he's better, but they need to add to the top of the depth chart. They don't need to add more tier two guys. The days of, you know, Cortland Sutton, Tim Patrick, they tried that. Devontae Parker was their answer to that problem. They need to get younger. I don't know. I guess he'd be better than nothing. I do like Cortland Sutton. He is a good player. He's just not a great player. And they have a couple of good receivers. Kendrick Bourne's a good receiver. Demario Douglas is a good receiver. They need a great receiver. They need a great receiver, or they need a young receiver in the draft who has a chance to be great. I just don't think Cortland Sutton's giving you that level of play.
Yeah. What is he now? Like 27, 28? Is he that old? Or 26? I don't know.
He's been in the league for a while. Because I think he was before I really started like grinding, covering the draft. Yeah, he's 2018. So that would have been the year before I covered my first, like really covered the draft. So he's probably 28, 29 next year. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't love it.
Stick it in that receiver room. We saw Devontae Parker. They ate that money. Do you think they do the same with Juju? It's more. It's like 12-2, I think, if they just do it right away. They could do a post one, a post-June one, and it goes down I to think like nine. But
yeah, look, you need the bodies to fill out the roster, to fill out the room. And you can't just cut all your wide receivers without adding more. So I'm not ruling out them cutting Juju. I definitely think it's a possibility. But part of me also wonders, what if they don't get Calvin Ridley? What if they don't get T. Higgins? What if they have to use a draft pick on a tackle, right? Well, that you just need them because you need wide receivers to go out there. You don't, there's no rush to cut them, is basically my point. Like the money, it's only going to get more favorable the longer you wait to cut them. So when we get to camp, is he a cut candidate? Yeah, I don't think, unless they suddenly add, you know, a couple guys and it's very clear they're not going to need them, I don't think they're going to be in a rush to cut him. I think with Parker, it was different because you actually opened up some, not opened up some money, but it, or you did open up money. Like there was no dead, it wasn't a negative hit. I think with Schuster, their cap actually goes down a little bit if they cut him. I think, I'm not positive, but they don't need a rush to cut it. They could cut him, but they don't need a rush to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. If you find yourself in a position where you need those snaps, like, and, right. and you still have the cap space whenever that comes, you think that and would be a move.
I know people are going to roll their eyes at that, and I get it. Like, oh, it's going to be so bad. You need Juju Smith-Schuster to play. They're not fixing this all in a year. Like, they need Juju snaps. What happened to weaponizing the offense? Yeah, here we are. That's kind of the point of no wide receivers in free agency. They're going to miss on the one guy, and then where do you go from there?
Yep.
Why you don't miss on wide receiver pick after wide receiver pick after wide receiver pick in the draft. Speaking of the draft, where would you take Joe Milton?
Oh, man.
You shouldn't even have to think about this one. It's first overall.
193.
I love Mac how nobody has any idea what I think of Joe Milton. Because I hype him up, I hype him up, I hype him up. And then I come on here and I say, I don't know that I draft Joe Milton if I'm the Patriots. I don't know that I would. I really don't. I just think you need a clean cut quarterback room. Everything's well defined and two rookies is tough. Fifth round's probably the earliest in all actuality. There's some teams I think that can justify him as a higher pick. I think the Giants are going to take him, like trade up early day three take him. But
the quarterback room of Drew Locke, Tommy DeVito, and Joe Milton, that would be a room right there.
Right. Let me be clear about this. Somebody said I said I don't like Sutton, who got 10 touchdowns in a 6-5. And then I said, we should keep Juju and play him. I never said Juju's good. Never said he's good. Didn't say they should keep him. And you don't have to give up draft capital to keep Juju Smith-Schuster. You have to give up draft capital to keep Cortland Sutton. That's the difference.
Yep.
I just say, the point is you should be aiming higher than Cortland Sutton. You also should be aiming higher than Juju Smith-Schuster. Both things are true. But the reality is, if you can't get anybody, Juju's already on the roster. That's all that point is.
Yep. More kicker talk. Need a new kicker in free agency. I bet this comes probably
after the draft. Yeah, that's going to come after the draft.
Either a UDFA or one of these, their next Tristan Vizcaino, right? Like one of these journeyman type of guys. So they'll probably add some competition for Ryland there. But I wouldn't expect most of the guys that are free right now are, you know, going to want to have a starting role. So that'll probably come later, a few months in the off season. But anything else you got, or should we wrap this one up?
I think that's pretty much it. I mean, there's what else to go. Matthew Judon just tweeted it. Mac Wilson, please come back to the Patriots. That's pretty much it.
He was
And he tweeted Hollywood Brown to come to the Patriots.
He's already moving off Calvin Ridley. He must
tweet Calvin. Yeah, tweet at Calvin. Let's go.
Well, that was his pitch on Good Morning Football. He was making his pitch for Calvin Ridley, but must have realized that dream might be done. So last one, just because it's a scheduling question, when is the next mock draft? Probably next Thursday, maybe?
Thursday. I think Thursday? This week, just with moves still going on, we're going to wait next Thursday. But then guess what? They're weekly. So next Thursday, it's every Thursday until draft week. I think we usually do on like Tuesday or Wednesday, and then we're not going to do it Thursday night, obviously, because the draft will be going on. So wait one more week and 2 days, and then it's every week after that. So
Yep.
We're getting
I lied. One more last one just so we can keep our friends happy over there, because Mike is blowing up the chat on his little recliner recovery, whatever he's doing over there. T. Higgins trade cost, even though, Mike, we kind of talked about it in the beginning of the show, but what, 34 and a day three pick? That's probably what you're looking at still here.
34, day three pick, future day three pick.
And you're doing that?
Absolutely. Assuming, I'm not doing that for a rental. Assuming that there's an extension in place, or you know you're getting an extension in place. I'm not giving up 34 for 1 year, but you get him on a four-year deal? Yeah, absolutely. I think that's about the fair price. You're not going to get a receiver better than T. Higgins at 34. It's a need. You address it. Easy. As long as there's an extension, yeah, I'm doing it.
All right, Mike.
And you know what? You can throw Juju Smith-Schuster in that, too. Throw Juju Smith-Schuster in the deal, too.
Hey, someone took Jonnu Smith. Maybe someone will take Juju
Smith-Schuster. That's what I was thinking. Right? Like, are you surprised somebody took Jonnu and didn't take Devontae Parker?
Honestly, yeah. I thought they could have traded Parker in a pick swap, but
I think people knew how desperate they were to move on. They weren't desperate to move on from Jonnu Smith.
Yeah.
They were desperate because they didn't need the snaps at tight end. They need the snaps at receiver. They're more desperate to move on from Devon. Also, it's new management. So it's easier to call their bluff on, fine, cut him, we'll just sign him, right? It's easier to call Elliot Wolf, who's not attached to Devontae Parker. It's easier to call that bluff than it is on Bill Belichick, who signed Jonnu Smith.
Yep. Agree with you there. But we will wrap it up there. We'll be back tomorrow, probably about the same time, depending on what happens throughout the day, assuming we have some Calvin Ridley news at 4:02 tomorrow to talk about. But make sure you subscribe to the channel, turn on your notifications so you do know when we are going to go live to break down, I guess, the start of the league new year and the official start of free agency. But also, in the meantime, you can follow Alex on Twitter at RealAlexBarth. Head over to 985thesportshub.com to read his Patriots coverage over the past few days. And you can follow me on Twitter at IamBrianHines and head over to PatsPulpit.com to read all my Patriots free agency coverage. Thank you all, as always, for joining us tonight, and we will see you guys tomorrow.
And I'm waiting like 10 seconds to sign off because this is absolutely limited. Anything? No, I just said Jay Kuda tweet. All right, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Hopefully we have news. Bye.